It's a classic situation in the math class. The teacher introduces a new concept, the fractions, limits, square roots, whatever. The student groans and says, but when are we going to use this in real life? Well, our next guest, a mathematician, has made it her life's work to answer that classic question. And she's doing it in all sorts of ways, using music, baking, and interpersonal interaction. Eugenia Cheng is a scientist in residence at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. She's going to be on UW's campus in Madison this week, giving a number of talks, including a free public presentation on her book, The Art of Logic, Using It to Find Clarity for Life's Problems. That's Thursday evening in the DeLuca Forum of the Discovery Building. Eugenia, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, you've encountered, I'm sure, lots of people who say they have a math phobia or a fear of math, or they're just not numbers people. What do you say to them to try to bring them back into the numbers game?
I say that I sympathize, because sometimes the way that math is presented is not very conducive to children and to people who are creative, which is really everybody, I think. And so if it was all about tests and scores and getting the right answer, yes, that can be very off-putting. But math doesn't have to be like that, and there's so much more to it than that. That's what I like to say.
And you've devoted a lot of your work and writing to tapping into that creative and, I guess, even playful side of math. What does that look like to someone who hears the words playful and math and thinks they're in two different worlds?
Well, again, I sympathize, but it's important to remember, I think, that math is not just about numbers and equations, even though that part gets really emphasized in most of school math. So that's school math. And I like to say, maybe you just didn't like school math. And there's so much math that's about just thinking clearly, building structures, finding connections between different situations, bridging gaps between things, and exploration. And all of those things can be much more fun than, what's the answer to this? Now memorize your times tables.
How can we start to practice that in our daily lives?
I have written several books to try and help with that because, of course, there are so many constraints. The education system is the way it is. The standardized tests are still imposed upon people. But if we can at least be open-minded about it to start with, just like I had some really boring, uncreative dance classes at school, but I still believe that dancing can be creative. It was just that wasn't. And it's really important to show that to children because otherwise this cycle keeps going. If parents think that math is boring and off-putting, and then that can get passed on to children. And if we can use the imagination of children to say, oh, look at these shapes, or just to explore things that might be math without being afraid of getting the wrong answer. And I know it's hard, and that's why I'm trying to do a lot of work outside of universities to help with that.
The dreaded question, I think, for every math teacher is, are we going to use this in real life? And I've seen you talk about the idea of kind of a mental or a brain fitness, similar to physical fitness. You know, we may not use that exact exercise in our daily lives, but it's still good for us.
That's absolutely true, especially if you want to be a person who can think well. And I hope that we all want to be able to think well, although sometimes it can appear that some people are not thinking that well at the moment. And math is really like a core exercise, just like we do core exercises to strengthen our bodies, even though there's no activity in life that just involves our core and nothing else. And so I think that math, in its more general form, when it's not just about numbers and equations, can help us do things like understand arguments and especially understand other people's arguments, even when we don't agree with them.
In American society, probably a lot of societies, there's a sense of what kind of people are math people and what kind of people aren't. There might be gender divides, ethnic divides, class divides. How do we make it so that no matter where people are whatever people's backgrounds are, we can all be math people?
Those beliefs can be really hurtful and inhibiting, especially for children and students. The idea that some people are math people and some people aren't is what Carol Dweck would call a fixed mindset. Instead of believing in growth and that we can all change, that the brain can change depending on what we do with it. And sometimes I think that the idea of the weird genius is very attractive because it kind of relieves us of the responsibility of trying to do any better ourselves. And it's kind of romantic and it's portrayed in movies and things as this this weird person who we can go, oh, well, they're brilliant at math, but they don't have a social life, so I'm better the way I am. And the idea that you have to be weird like that, or that you you either are or aren't good at math, is very unfortunate. Whereas, in fact, you know, some people may well be better than others at math in the end, but everybody can get better at it. And there is no limit, I think, to how much people can get better, or at least we don't know. There's no kind of single test that we can do, even though the standardized test people may try. There's no single test we can do to decide what your eventual potential is as a mathematician. And so I prefer not to limit anybody and just to help everybody grow.
You've described yourself as a pure mathematician, and you study the mathematics of mathematics. What does that mean?
Good question. I think that pure math is the part that appears to be, it can appear to be the furthest away from real life, because it's very abstract and it's about how structures work without the question of what we can do with them in life. But what I have realized as I go along is that the pure math part is about how to think and how to build sound arguments. And so although the research I do, it doesn't directly help with things like flying a plane or building a bridge, what it does is it gives us ways to practice thinking clearly and building good arguments for how to tell if something is true or not. And that's a big problem in life at the moment, that people go around saying all sorts of things are true. And what we really need is good frameworks for assessing the validity of different points of view. And to me, that's what pure math can help with. Even though it practices it in a very abstract realm, those techniques can be used in all of our daily life as well.
And at the opposite end of the spectrum, you've written columns on everything from the use of math in baking and in music and everyday problem solving. So going from that abstract plane, how can we be mathy in our approach to our daily problems in life?
I think that if you have a phobia or a past trauma from math, then it can cause you to want to run away from any mathematical content in anything. But I try to show that it is all around us, whether you know it's there or not, and that you can get by perfectly well without it. Many people say to me that, you know, they get by perfectly well without doing all this math, and that's true. But I try to show that if you do see the math that's going on, sometimes it can help you do things better without having to rely on and trust other people to do it for you. And I think this is important because there's a lot of people out there who are trying to fool us, be that, dare I say it, the media sometimes, and possibly politicians. People are trying to manipulate us, and having a good grounding in how to work through things ourselves can protect us from being manipulated by unscrupulous people.
Can you leave us with one exercise or thought project that we can start our path back to math?
You know, this will be surprising, but I think that empathy is a form of abstraction that is related to mathematics. I think that math is about analogies between different situations, and that empathy is about analogies between different people. So I would encourage you to find an analogy between you and someone else that helps you understand their point of view, even if it's very, very different from your own, and then to believe, if you can, that that is an aspect of mathematical thinking.
Eugenia, thank you so much for joining us today, and enjoy your trip to Wisconsin.
Thank you very much.
That's Eugenia Cheng. She's scientist in residence at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago and author of several math-related books, including The Art of Logic, Using It to Find Clarity for Life's Problems. We talked to her about making math more a part of our daily lives. Eugenia is going to be giving a free public presentation on that book this week in Madison, Thursday evening at 5:30 in the DeLuca Forum of the Discovery Building. We've got a link at wpr.org/centraltime with more info.